Well, Roger, the last time we talked Mac Daddy wedges with you was sometime back at Cog Hill. You were announcing those Mac Daddies and Mac Daddy 3s, but
yeah.
Now you've got Mac Daddies 4. Tell us how they've gotten better.
Well, we're a great company that knows how to name things, you know, from Mac Daddy 3 to 4. What we have done is actually we've worked, it's the most tested wedge we've ever tested and worked on. We actually took the shape and went back to a shape that we continually had trouble getting out of some pros bags, which was the Mac Daddy 2. Okay, so it's a little smaller than the 3 and the Forge, and we really has a tighter radius on the profile from the heel toe, which has less displacement out of bunker, so there's and rough. So there's a lot of features on this wedge for performance. We worked on the CG location for feel and maximum spin. We changed the leading edge radius and made it a little bit tighter, so you could, you know, when you have tight, really sticky surrounds, which are really hard and people hate that, you can get that leading edge under, but with proper bounce. This has the exact bounce that you need in every loft. Okay, we have different grinds. Okay, for different swing types. If you're steep, we have two options, the W and the X, which is a extreme C. I'll explain that in a minute. Then we, if you're kind of a neutral, we have the S, and if you're shallow, we have the C grind, okay? Those are our four options, and they're wonderful. And they go right into players' bags. This is the fastest adaptation of any of our wedge launches into tour bags. We've taken out all the MD2s, which is making me smile, okay? But there's more to it. We did something which everybody wants with their wedge, more spin, okay? I challenged our R&D department, a guy by the name of Brad Rice, who was instrumental in this. In the past, we used to do texture on the face, which there's limitations to what we can do with the USGA, but we used to laser into the face, and he said, why don't we cut positives, okay? And never thought about that, because there's limitations on what you can do and how deep you can do it. So we reversed that. So we actually go in, and it takes 10 minutes to cut one wedge. We do 15 wedges and then change out the cutter, because you have to be precise. So it's expensive, okay, to do this. But what we give you is performance. And so what we do is we cut in four positives in between each groove, okay? After we mill the face flat, we cut in four positives, and then third step, we come in and we cut in the groove. And we have two grooves, one more aggressive in 54 on up, and one a little less aggressive on 52 on down, okay? So you add up all these positives in the grooves, and there's 84 edges that can catch that ball. So out of rough, in wet conditions, okay, with a full shot, with a 58-degree wedge in our robot testing, we got 1,000 more RPM, okay, roughly. Some tests were, you know, 950, some tests were 1050. So an average of 1,000 RPM more than anybody on the floor here in our competition. That's extreme. That's control, okay?
Roger, with the tour players, I mean, they travel around, they play more different types of courses and things,
yep,
than the average amateur does.
Sure.
But do you find yourself trying to create, along the terms of the fact that these guys are playing the older brown sand one week, they're playing the new tour-style white sand the next week. There's different bunker sands, and now a lot of courses are redoing greens with different things that a guy maybe didn't see those type of greens when he came and played at that tournament last year.
Sure.
Trying to keep up for your staff and your tour players to give them a fit that works for all these different changing conditions.
Right. Well, their lob wedge, they hardly ever change. Only when it gets really extreme, when it gets really firm, okay? They do, by technique, they'll change, okay? They'll take their wedge, which has enough bounce on it, in their lob wedge particularly, and they'll, if it gets firm or if it rains, the bunkers get firm, they'll square up the face rather than opening up, so they can dig a little bit more and get under the ball. And they get firm. They once in a while, if it gets really firm, like the British Open and so forth, they might change the grind on there. They might take a few degrees off their lob wedge. Other than that, they don't do that. They do it through technique. So, an example, the Open Championship typically is very firm, but the bunkers are soft. So what do you do there? And so what they do is they'll take a little, maybe a few degrees off their lob wedge, so if they have that condition or that type of shot. But getting the bunker, they'll use their sand wedge, which has more bounce in the softer bunkers. So, and they know how to use that their technique, and that's what I would, ask and challenge all your listeners. Take some, the fastest way to improve your game is just take some lessons, work on the short game, and you can get it up and down just like they do. They don't hit all the greens, okay, and they do very well. They shoot under par, and it's because of their technique and the equipment they play. So this is the finest wedge that I've made and been involved with, and the most tested wedge, and the adaptation of the tour is proof. It's really good.
How much feedback do you rely on from your tour players that goes into the creation and designs of every time you upgrade wedges, or even if you're trying to make something special for a certain player?
A lot. I go out to tour a lot. I work with players. I'm doing some teaching and clinics, okay? So I've learned over the years, in a few years that I've been out. And so I see the proper technique and how to use that. So I really get feedback from the shape. The wedge has to exude confidence when you look at it, when you put it down. You want to open the face. It has to look, it has to give you confidence that you can hit that shot. Not only on the bottom or the design of the geometry of the sole, but the shape of how the transition of the leading edge comes into the par area when you open it up and so forth. So I work on that a lot with the players. I listen a lot.
What's the variety from top to bottom on wedge lofts? Is it like 48 to 64? Is that the range, or do you create anything outside of that?
We went from 46 on this MD4, 46 to 64 in 2-degree increments. And that's all you need. Some questions I've had is, why don't you do one for each loft, 1 degree? Well, you can bend these. You can bend these up to 5 degrees, but you have effects. If you de-loft, you're de-bouncing, so you got to watch what you can do. For example, I have a four-wedge system. I have a pitching wedge at 45 degrees, which is strong, but that's what most iron sets are right now for the amateur. And then I have 50, I have 55, and 60. So we don't have a 55-degree wedge. So I take my 54, bend it 1 degree weaker, which adds 1 degree of bounce, okay? And I want that extra degree on that. I don't mind that for my sand iron. So that's what you do. It's easy to bend them. This is a carbon steel. It's easy to bend.
Roger, we're looking at the rest of your company, the upgrades they've done with your Callaway golf ball, the new Rogue driver. It seems like in the fairway woods and all of those different things, it seems like they've taken things to the next level. Do you see a next level, or what's next in your crystal ball? Where do wedges go from here going forward?
Well, we have jailbreak technology.
No,
I'm just joking. The longest wedge in the world. This is, wedges don't really advance that much because
not like drivers.
This is a big step for us. There's a lot of factors that a lot of boxes were checked with the MD4. I think this will be around a while, but we're not putting the pencil down. The PM, the high toe version of our wedge, it's staying in the market, staying here. Phil still uses it, loves it, and so do about six other guys on the tour. It just got copied, okay? I think that's supposed to be flattery, but I don't care for it. But so you know, little things like that. I mean, specialty wedges for, you know, especially your lob wedge category, whether it be 56, 58, or 60. That's the most critical wedge, so we'll still look at things to do on that. But this, when you can add that kind of spin on the MD4 that we did, that's significant. And with everything, the whole package, the shape, the geometries of the sole, and the way a turf interaction, and the feel. We looked at CG location and maximized spin and feel. The feel in this wedge, especially with the chrome soft golf ball, is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And the speed on that golf ball is amazing, and the stopping power. It spins as well. I don't know. It's very smart.
Yeah. Finally, Roger, let me ask you this. It seems like it's got to be an exciting time to be part of Callaway, from Chip Brewer's vision for the company on down, and the way your company continues to grow among golfers and in the industry. It's got to be a good time to be a part of Callaway and what's happening here.
Well, it's a great time. Yeah, I've been, this is my 22nd year at Callaway, so I've seen some management. And Chip is amazingly good at all aspects. He's a great motivator. He's a great leader. He's a golfer and a very smart businessman. Very frugal, I must say. So we do things wisely. We don't spend our money, without reason. And so it's great time to be there. He hired some great people, Mark Leposky and Harry Arnett. Mark does all the gets things made in the production, and Harry does all the marketing, and we do some amazing things there. So it's quite a team. And I must say, I got to give Alan Hocknull is the head of R&D. He's, you know, Dr. Hocknull. He got that doctorate in aerodynamics, which is golf ball aerodynamics. So he's a very smart guy and leads our R&D team. But there's We never put the pencil down. We're working hard and humble. The key is humble, hungry and humble.